I just made his motion.
So maybe Mary can reread the motion, and then we can go to the people who were recognized.
So Terry's motion.
Reiterate what may have been missed.
Terry's motion is that was that we request the audit committee chair to ask for a job description for Alvin Yee, the internal auditor.
That's Alvin Yip.
Yip, sorry, yep. I have Yip.
Okay.
And then the point was Harrison raised the point that maybe we should be requesting authorization from the PNB rather than otherwise we're going past our authority. And then Harris had also raised the concern that not only the governance of the Pacifica, but also the listeners should have a clear understanding about the finances. And then Evelyn Bethune was just saying that in a nonprofit, every year there is a report about the finances.
Oh, this is Harrison back again.
I was basically asking if
you were just
if
saying
we
that
something.
In that moment. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that Ted back?
This is Evelyn.
Okay.
And I was asking, because I'm new to this committee, if Pacifica does an annual report that shows how our funds are spent on an annual basis, and that would include our sister stations, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a point of information?
Yes, I'm asking the question if we do that, and if not, it may be something we want to consider, especially if we're going to start talking about starting maybe putting some audits in place on a regular basis.
Okay.
So that we have a public reporting function.
I am not exactly sure if it is being adhered to, but we were supposed to, as part of our mandate, and there were a lot of effort 2-3 years ago to have these things posted on the Pacifica National, on the Pacifica website, and so forth and so on. So that's the question. I don't know if anyone else on this committee is aware of, you know.
Terry?
Yes.
Pacifica must have an independent audit annually in order to qualify for any CPB funding. We have those audits, and we post them on the Pacifica.org website. Also, as a nonprofit, we post a Form 990 filing, which lists our sources of funding and identifies major donors, although some of those still maintain an anonymity in the manner that they're listed on the Form 990. The Form 990 also reports any employees that make over a certain amount per year.
Right.
Mary Brew?
Yes, Mary?
Well, there's two things about that. One, the 990 gives certain information and not others, and then the final audit, and it comes fairly much later. So, and the audit report, of course, comes considerably after that. So, whether or and the 990 always was posted on the PNB website, but whether that's the same thing that Harrison was talking about or the same thing that Evelyn was talking about as to an annual report, I mean, how timely would that be? I'm not sure if that satisfies Harrison's concern about the listeners having
mine either,
this information.
Actually.
Okay, so
yeah.
See, that's the only reporting that there is, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Marnie, on the Finance Committee, you might have some more to say, or you're not on the Finance Committee.
No, I'm
but
not.
You might have, some more information, though, about it. You have been on it.
Well, so Harrison, do you have any comment on that?
I think a lot of people on local boards and national board members have been frustrated by an inability to get information at certain points over in certain issues. And it's just that I think a lot of us would like to see regular procedures in place where finance committees and LSBs and the national board could have a better picture of what's going on than we do at the moment.
Okay.
Don White?
Don?
Yeah, I have 2 points. One, I was just wondering if Marnie or Terry or someone knows that a nonprofit corporation, 501c3, incorporated in California, isn't it mandated and required to issue an annual report? I mean, that's a question. But the other thing, before I lose the floor, I wanted to speak to Harrison's concern that we were stepping outside our purview as audit committee in requesting this. I have another view, with all due respect, Harrison. It seems as though this motion is an act to get information so that we can prepare a motion for the PNB. So my own view of this is that it's absolutely appropriate that we request. We're not demanding documents. We're requesting something that should be, you know, forthcoming without the debate. We're requesting the job description just so we can see what our internal auditor is mandated to do now. And then, based on getting that information, we would possibly formulate another motion that would go to the PNB. But I just think that we should consider this motion of Terry's just a means of accumulating information for our work so we can later formulate a PNB motion.
That makes sense to me, Don. I hadn't thought of it that way. That's another thing that occurs to me. Is perhaps that job description posted already somewhere?
Probably. But it might be quicker just to request it.
Yeah, it might be quicker to ask, but I don't
I'll look for it, and if I cannot find it, I will ask for it.
May I
on the stack?
I'd like to be on the stack. This is Ted.
Ted? Who else said they wanted to be on the stack? Terry?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ted and then Terry. Ted, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to be bombastic for a moment, and I hear the phrase, I heard it just a moment ago, the purview of this committee. Well, I'd like to know if there's anything written, I don't think there is, that establishes the purview of this committee. And I think that more important than purview, we ought to do something. If there's a problem within Pacifica and we are overstepping our bounds when we give a report to the National Board, they can refer it to another committee. But I think that more often than not, the suggestion that we're going beyond the purview of our committee is a tactic. I don't know that it's intended that way, but it's a tactic that stops us from doing something important that this foundation needs that nobody else is doing. And I wish we would stop the censorship that is associated with that phrase outside of the purview of this committee.
Don White, I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay, Terry Goodman's next.
Yes, although the PNB has not given a mandate to this committee beyond what's in the bylaws, this committee does have specific responsibilities under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and so the items mentioned in that law are within the purview of this committee, whether we want them to be or not. With respect to the motion on the floor to ask the chair to obtain a job description from national staff, that is perfectly within the current Pacifica information request policy, which authorizes committee chairs, but not individual committee members, to make requests of information from staff.
Yes, and I'd like to clarify, the reason why that went on is national office complained that they were getting too many requests, were being bombarded, and they wanted to streamline requests and so forth. I don't quite agree with it because I don't think they were being bombarded, but that's what has been established for now.
Pardon me. This is Mary Berg.
Mary?
Could you clarify what has been established, that we go through committee chairs or that we go through the PNB? I'm sorry.
Go through committee chairs to make requests of the national office to give us information.
Oh, okay. So you're agreeing that we can do that?
That we don't have too many people sending them requests.
Okay, so you're agreeing that's okay. All right.
Terry can clarify a bit. Yeah, during the first year of governance, such information requests had to go through the coordinating committee. And then in the second year of governance, or maybe the third, the coordinating committee passed, well, no, the PMB, on the recommendation of the coordinating committee, passed a motion that authorized committee chairs to make information requests directly rather than go through the coordinating committee. And the coordinating committee still maintained its role of tracking such information requests.
Okay.
Don White.
Don White. And after that, I'm going to kind of move on. Okay, go ahead, Don, if there are no objections. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I just want to respond to the comment that people were using the term not in our purview as a censorship. I think that's hocus pocus, and I don't think it has any merit whatsoever. It's very clear to anyone who's been listening to this conversation that Harrison simply wondered if it would be more appropriate to send our motion to the PNB instead of to the CFO. And I use the word purview because I was saying that I thought it was absolutely appropriate for us to request information from the CFO. So being bombastic is fine, but I think it mischaracterized what happened. And I don't think anyone on this committee has any kind of like corner on the market of wanting to get things done. We all do. I don't think Harrison in any way was trying to censor or being a kind of strategic in raising the issue. I think it was a legitimate issue, and I think it was handled in a very civil way. And I was a little offended by the idea that this use of purview is some kind of tactic that members of the committee are using.
Okay, point well taken, but I'm going to cut this discussion short.
That's fine.
My interpretation of this was toward the foundation in general, and then I think we have to be careful to see how we, in our language and toward the network, might limit ourselves. And Pacifica has done that. The executive office has done that overall. And I hope that no comments were directed at specific members of this committee at this time. And so just hoping that. We'll move on. And
This is Mary Berg here.
We have
since we're at this point.
We have
a
motion on the floor. Can you wait a few minutes before you leave? You have 5 more minutes.
Yeah, I just want to know if I can make arrangements. Is anybody else, like either Marnie or Terry, would take notes for me? If not, I'll get them off the audio. But after I go, I'm just wondering if either one of you could do
Terry that. Is taking notes.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Okay. Okay, so there's a motion on the floor that has been seconded and discussed. I just have to mention that if we're going to ask for Alvin Yip's job description, shouldn't it be kind of, I understand Harrison Will's concern, should we just ask for the job description of all the people in there working within the financial office and so that way we can have that information to begin with?
That's a good idea.
And that it is not seem to be directed at a specific individual, because it is not. It's just about process and description of jobs. I shouldn't even be making this suggestion as a chair. But
well, this is Harrison. If Terry regards that as a good idea, I'll suggest that as an amendment to the motion.
A point of information?
Yes.
About how many people would that include? Does anyone have any idea?
I think it's about 5.
Yeah, we have
Ben Garcia. You have Lonnie Hicks, who's job
right.
We have to a certain extent. We have Alvin Yip, and there are two more people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That makes sense to me.
Marnie, do you know who they are offhand?
Well, I think Berthold had a pretty good handle on him. I've been out of touch a while. But, yeah, there's Ben Garcia. There's Alvin Yip. There's Lynn Magno.
That's it.
Right.
Lynn
there's
Magno.
The payroll person, whose name
right.
I'm forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonnie, I think that's what I recall.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable.
So do I hear going to make this formal, or do I hear an amendment to this, or should we?
I've almost got it.
Terry?
Yeah. My motion has amended that the committee ask its chair to obtain from national staff the names and job descriptions for the individuals on the national in the National Finance Office.
Yeah, any second?
I second.
All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Well,
are there any objections to that motion? No. Okay. So the motion passes without objection. Okay, I will do that, and I'll try to see if I can get that in 1 week and give you a status on that as opposed to waiting until the next meeting.
Right.
Okay. Next week.
Okay. I guess I have to leave so I can get to my other meeting.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but Terry, maybe you'll send me your notes afterwards?
I'll send it the list.
Okay, and then I'll take those and have them, put them together with mine for the minutes. Is that
right?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. I'm sorry I have to leave. This is a really good discussion, and we're getting somewhere, so it's too bad to have to quit when we're getting ahead. But thank you. I've got to go.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. So I guess we would go next to, well, okay, the other policies and procedures manual from Ben Garcia and by Lonnie Hicks. We could just kind of look at it. And Ted, I just sent you one. And I guess the subcommittee also could, look at that and, based on its mandate or based on the work it's going to do, send emails back forward to the group to discuss what in that policy and procedure manual they think they can add to or remove. So do we need to go into any discussion on that, or that's kind of understood? That's item 7. It's understood, right?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, okay. Should we go on vote on excused absences or inconsistencies in reporting procedures across the network?
Well, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Has the chair received any requests for excused absences?
No, I have not.
Well, if we have not received any requests, and if no member of the committee has had a request directed to her or to him, maybe it's just moot point.
I think that's definitely a fact, but the idea is there was an idea of removing members after they have not participated after a certain amount of time.
True.
Okay, so is this something that we should discuss online and then bring it here for a vote and discussion? Marnie?
Sorry, I had to jump off. I'm back.
Okay. We're talking about whether or not we should go, now and discuss heavily the idea of deciding on removing people from this board if they do not participate in one or two meetings consecutively and so forth and so on. I
agree with that. I'm really, it's very disheartening to be a good soldier and be showing up and taking time away from all of our things, including me, from what I have to take away from, and then have like 50% participation. And some people have never been on these calls, and it makes it a joke, and it makes me very disheartened.
Yes, I must say that WBAI has been really bad in participating in this in this committee. And
PFW, I think Rob Robinson was on once, and Mark's never been on, and Thomas has never been on, so they need to give us some other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mark. I'd love to have him on. I think he'd add great levity to it, but if he can't make it or doesn't want to make it, they should put some other people on.
Mm. I'd like to have some comment from everyone on this, if possible. I don't want to impose that.
Terry? Yeah, our committee, committees don't control their own membership. And P&B committees are kind of odd since there's two appointing authorities. There's the P&B is the appointing authority for directors, and the LSBs are the appointing authorities for the delegate members. But it is something that the PMB should have a policy on, so that it's automatically triggered that substitutes are appointed by the appropriate appointing authority when there have been too many absences.
Well, that the idea was to come up with a proposal to bring to the next PNB meeting. You know, I mean, the way I had this a while back when I was a militant a few years back is whether or not absences are excused or not, if you have a certain amount of absences, you just cannot follow what's going on here. And then
back. Ted here.
Ted, yes. And obviously you do not care and you would not really spend the time going over the minutes and reviewing the documents to have a positive contribution in here. So we have to figure out a formula to just say, you know, these people should be removed, whether it's an excused absence or not. If it's an excused absence, the person was in a hospital for 6 months, they should not be on the committee. It's not that they are bad, they just are not going to contribute. So it's not getting rid of somebody who is sick, it's just, you know, looking for help in the committee. Ted?
I don't think we have to establish a protocol here. I think there's one already in place, and that is that we inform the national board, since we are a committee of that board, that we have had people that have missed three meetings in a row, and we are determining, unless the national board wishes to overrule our decision, that they are removed. If the national board wants to stop anything we want to do, they can. And if those people who are being removed want to appeal it to them, that's certainly within their rights. But I don't think a new procedure needs to be established.
This is Harrison. If it's okay, I'd just like to say that one thing we're omitting here is the fact that some committees are having trouble meeting quorum, and this would be one way to make it easier.
Agreed.
Now, Terry?
Terry?
I think the problem, as I mentioned, is that we're not the appointing authority, but we certainly in our committee reports to the PMB, we should report those absences and ask for the removal of those members that have been absent a certain number of times. And I actually ask for their replacement rather than their removal.
Right, and when it comes to replacements, I think most of our offending people, because the bulk of them on this committee, I guess two-thirds of them come from the LSBs, not the PNBs. I think the bulk of the offending people are LSB members voted up from the LSBs, not the PNB. I don't know, you guys know who the PNB directors are better than I from my other stations, but I think that's where our problem is at the moment, is with the LSB reps.
Terry?
Yeah.
Can I hear from Don? Don?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Can I hear from you about this issue?
Yeah. I actually tend to agree that reasonableness has to dictate here, not so much a new procedure, and but it's it's a little complicated. For instance, Rob Robinson is a director who has not necessarily missed three consecutive meetings. So, I mean, we do have to have some procedure or policy we can invoke if three absences is going to be it. We have to decide, you know, are they three total in a year or a six-month period, or are they three consecutive? I mean, the bylaws does dictate this around LSB attendance. And it
Jack,
calls...
Ted.
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah.
I want to say something after you're done.
Yeah. So I think we may just have to come to some agreement and then report, first of all, to the offending members of the committee that they're being, taken off the committee, or there's a threat, or at least the possibility, that their membership will be terminated, and then make a report to the PMB. I mean, I think we do have to have kind of a policy that we're invoking.
Ed?
I'm saying this because I want to be funny, and I also want to be serious about it, though. I think we're outside of the purview of this committee right now. The rules are there.
You're trying
it's
to
not...
censor us. You're trying to censor us.
Go ahead, Ed.
Really, I mean, they're in the bylaws. If the governance committee wants to come up with some new rules, fine. But these are the rules. Let's go forward.
What are the rules?
The rules are you miss three meetings of a committee in your office, unless they're excused, and we haven't excused these.
Well, yeah, these are clear cases. For example, for a few people, but yeah. You know, actually, you're absolutely right. There are, besides, there are a few people who have never been to this meeting. And I think they basically should be removed.
I don't think we have a choice in the matter. And by the way, I would like to bring up the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. I just did a Google search on it, and I'd like to add that to the agenda.
Sarbanes-Oxley Act?
That's what I was told we're operating under.
Yeah. Well, I'll come to that. Did I hear from Brian?
Brian may not be on the call any longer. He was on his cell phone, and he informed me in advance of this call that he might lose power.
Okay. But Dr. Bethune?
Yeah.
I
think, you know, that it's critical that people attend the meeting. You can't do anything or be beneficial. And just having your name on the list doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if people miss just the way that it's laid out, I'm probably going to give Ted a heart attack right now because I agree with him.
No, I expected you to say that actually right then.
I do think it's very important that people be in attendance and be knowledgeable, have prepared before they get here, especially if there's information to review, so that we can clip along and not be here till midnight.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry to contribute to keeping us here to midnight, but I think there's a little bit of disagreement about the rules governing this case between Terry and Ted. And I initially thought that Terry was right, but I've looked in the bylaws, and I find that it says about committees that they shall follow the same rules as Article 7, which I think applies to the PNB. So I think that Ted is right, that we don't really have a choice in the matter. If we have three unexcused absences by a member, we need to inform the PNB that they have been removed as required by the bylaws.
Terry? Yeah. My problem with that is that while the member was actually on the PNB Governance Committee, they fooled around with revising that particular reference so that it maybe points to Article 6 instead of Article 7.
Oh, it's so that it's proper? I mean,
to interpret.
Can I say something? I while we were talking, I'm in the bad tendency of, again, sending you an email with the bylaws. That was kind of put together in a nice manner by our beloved, belated Ted Friedman from KPFA, who passed away. And it's really well formatted. In the beginning, you have, it's not official, but in the beginning, you have the table of content. And, you know, it's really well set. So I suggest that, you know, you save this and you can refer this to it this easily to find anything, you know, about the bylaws as opposed to what was distributed officially by the National Board. One other thing that I want to say is I think we have to cut to the chase at a certain point and just take decisions. This is the problem we've been having at Pacifica. The National Board does not make any decision, does not take any decision. They have not fired anybody, as I know of, this past 5 years or censured anybody, you know, for lack of performance or any such thing. And I think, you know, we should just take these actions. Some people on this audit committee, we know they're not going to come. They're not going to do anything. If they come just to attend so that they can say they attended once and never show up again. I think we have to take action. You know, we have to step up to the plate.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why don't we start with a motion, which I'm willing to make now, with those whose attendance is horrendous, have never been here. So let's look at those names, and I would move that the committee terminate the membership of the following people who have missed 3 or more meetings. And let's just get these names. And
I have the names.
Okay, why don't you recite them and see if we agree with them.
Okay.
Point of information, are we talking about 3 consecutive meetings?
Well,
yes.
Well, I was actually thinking in terms of, people are talking about people who have never attended a meeting. I didn't actually realize it was so egregious, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, we have only met 3 times officially, April 13, May 31st, July 27, and we missed the June 22nd meeting, which does not count. So for the April 13, May 31st, and July 27, Mark Hernandez attended only once, Mary Berg 3 times, Marnie Tattersall 3 times, Terry Goodman, Harrison Will 3 times, Don White 3 times, Evelyn Betun once because she just joined, Ted Weisgold 3 times, Brian Swain 3 times, Lisa Davis 0 times, Cheryl Ife Griffith, who was on the previous audit committee, 0 times and never attended at any meeting previously either, myself 3 times, Mark Roberts never, Rob Robbins once, Thomas Ruffin 0. So we have Thomas Ruffin, Mark Roberts, Lisa Davis, and Cheryl Griffith 0 times. We have 4 people.
Mr.
And
Chair?
Frankly, I don't remember Mark Hernandez being on, but I defer to you, Berthold.
I think for the April 13, 2006 meeting, I believe he was on. We don't have the...
Oh, he wasn't on for long, as I recall. But
yeah, he just stepped in and he talked about, I believe, access to certain things to the website.
Okay, so my motion, and just before I make the motion, a point of inquiry of the chair. All of these people that you referred to as 0 attendees, all of them are on the audit Yahoo Group's list, so they're getting the announcements, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So my motion is...
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Mark Roberts was not at that meeting, April 13th.
Mark Hernandez.
Was not? So he should be on the list?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He was. Mark Roberts was not.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Well, he was at the meeting.
The acting secretary has the motion done.
She does have the motion, but I just want to make clear that my motion only would list those names that Berthold listed as 0 attendees.
Yeah, let's see if you approve my wording of the motion.
Go ahead.
Motion from Don White that the committee terminate the committee membership of the following people who have missed all 3 committee meetings this term: Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Mark Roberts, and Thomas Ruffin.
That sounds good.
Does someone else want to make this motion? You know, Lisa Davis is going to... Oh, my gosh. I wish
we were all authors of this.
Mr.
Huh?
Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Chair?
We want to all be authors of this?
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us have to be authors of this. I think it is incumbent upon this committee to report of these transgressions and therefore announce to the national board that this has that due to the bylaws that this act has taken place. It's not like we have any choice in the matter.
Okay, yeah. Actually,
I would appreciate that because I don't want anyone on that list to think I'm targeting them for any reason.
Well, actually, you know what? As a chair of this committee, I would love to take that responsibility if there's a legal way that can be done. You know, so.
Well, Terry, you seem to think that there might be some ambiguity in the bylaws in this
well,
issue.
Okay. So I can propose
I'm saying
substitute.
That if you want to attribute all the responsibility to me, I have no problem assuming that if there's a way that is legally done, because I know the chair is not supposed to bring motions and things like that. But if that is possible to attribute all this to me, I have no problem whatsoever being tagged with the person who has pushed this through.
We could say the committee voted unanimously that... Oh, well, I don't know. We haven't had the vote yet, but I mean...
If there's no objection, I can amend the minutes however you want at this point.
If you have an amendment?
No.
Well, if you want to withdraw the motion, then it didn't happen, and I can offer a substitute that the committee direct its chair to report to the PMB.
I withdraw my motion in favor of that.
Okay. Terry moves that...
It doesn't even appear in the minutes. You drop the whole thing. If he's withdrawing it, nobody complains about it. It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, no. What do you mean?
But in substitute, as a new motion then...
Yes.
I propose that the committee... Well, just a minute. The committee chair doesn't report to the PMB unless he happens to make it to the meeting, because he's not a director, right?
Mm-hmm. The committee chair can report to the chair of the PMB.
Right? Yes, I can send him an email, official email, okay. To the whole PMB and all that stuff.
So I think that our next committee report should report that the following people have missed all three committee meetings this term, those people being Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Mark Roberts, and Thomas Ruffin. And it's the committee's view that these members are no longer on the committee, and we would like the PMB's assistance and the assistance of the associated LSBs in getting replacements.
Before it's second, I think it's weak. I think we should just, you know, ask their support. We should ask their help in replacing those people, but we should say these people are out.
Okay.
You know, they are out. They have not shown their fiduciary responsibility.
Bertold, this is Ted. May I weigh in here briefly?
Yes, sir.
We don't have a vote in this matter. If the vote was, I'm in favor of getting rid of them and the rest of you disagree with me, I'm sorry, you're wrong. The bylaws say what they say. And there's just no wiggle room on this one. They didn't ask for any kind of excused absences. That would be the only wiggle room.
Okay, thank you. So then what that does is it makes it easy that Terry Goodman maybe helped me here with the legal stuff on this. So therefore the chair can bring this to the committee. To the audit committee board and have this voted on.
Well, this is Harrison. I think it would be great if the PMB understood that the entire committee is in support of the chair on this. I think Ted is correct that it doesn't matter what we think, except that it might help to keep the divisiveness down.
Oh, I want them to skewer Bertold as well. I mean, that's the whole plan.
Oh, but you didn't even mention purview, Ted.
Yeah. It's definitely purview territory.
So can anyone, you know, I understand Don White's concern because he deals with you know, he's in many committees. Is there anyone in this group that's willing to take Don White's previous motion and just, you know, carry it with their name so that we can just get this over with?
I mean, oh, sure, I'm willing. This is Harrison.
This is Evelyn. I'm new. They can't kill me.
Oh, I don't know, Evelyn.
So, Terry? Terry?
Yes?
That same motion by Don White earlier is the motion by, you know, Dr. Bethune. Mm-hmm. Is that okay, Dr. Bethune?
No,
yes,
working,
that's fine.
I was working on something a little better, but I hadn't finished yet.
No, I like the motion to just get rid of this evil and ask and tell the PNB to direct the LSB to get new people on this thing right away. Lisa Davis is a director, so then this would be the PNB's responsibility.
Yeah, well, there's one director on the list and three delegates.
And three delegates, yes.
From 2 station areas?
Yeah, it's basically from 2 station areas.
Yeah.
BAI and BFW. Mr. Secretary, can you read the motion by Dr. Bethune?
Oh, well, it's going back to the early one. Motion from Evelyn Bethune that the committee terminate the committee membership of the following people who have missed all 3 committee meetings this term: Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Mark Roberts, and Thomas Ruffin.
And second by?
Marnie.
By Marnie.
We don't need seconds.
Okay. Do I hear any objection to this meeting?
Should the motion include the assistance of the PNB be requested in the appointment of replacement committee members?
Yes.
Of a replacement director from WBAI and replacement delegate members from WBAI and WPFW.
Okay, by August 24, 2006, maybe? By our next meeting of August 24, 2006.
August
24. It's a request. We're not dictating, but, you know, giving them.
Okay, I'm working on it. Yeah.
Maybe just say that that's when our next meeting is?
Yes. You see how interesting it is that things we agreed on because of political issues take so much more time than other important stuff. How to word it, to be politically correct. Unbelievable.
Are we through with that one? Because I have another request along those lines, if we're through.
Terry?
I can read back what I have in a couple minutes when I finish writing it.
Okay. Dr. Bethune, is it proper for you to want to start talking to what you want to talk about soon? You cannot make a motion yet. You have to wait, but you can talk to it.
Oh, it was Marnie.
No, that was
and
Marnie.
I was just thinking it would be polite then for the chair to contact Mark Hernandez and Rob Robinson and just advise them that they're on the edge, and we would love them to participate at the next meeting and the meetings after that.
Excellent idea.
Okay. But if we have already removed them.
No. This is Mark Hernandez and Rob Robinson.
Yes.
We have not removed them. They're the two who have been on one call each.
Okay, yes, I will. And as a matter of fact, it's a great idea that I will also call the other people a courtesy call to let them know that we decided this.
Okay, I have what I wrote. See if Evelyn accepts this as her motion.
Sure.
That the committee terminate the committee membership of the following people who have missed all three committee meetings this term: Lisa Davis, Cheryl Griffin, Mark Roberts, and Thomas Ruffin. And further, that the committee chair request the assistance of the PMB in appointing a replacement director from WBAI and replacements for the named delegate members from WBAI and WBFPFW.
Yes. That sounds fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Do I need any objection to this motion? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, how much time are we willing to stay on this call? Not much, right? Hello?
We're here.
Minutes?
No objection.
15
yeah.
more minutes. Okay.
Depends on how boring it is. If we keep it exciting, I'm here for a day. No, not really.
Exciting,
not
know?
Really.
We have mixed formality with informality to just talk. There are two major issues. Actually, you know, when we talked at the last meeting, we know that the auditor's wisdom also mentioned that, you know, there are problems and, you know, inconsistencies with the interdepartmental transfers and then the reporting procedure across the network. Now, these are very technical items. I've sent a bunch of large spreadsheets with comments on them. But I think maybe for 15 more minutes, you know, of discussion only, maybe we should talk about the concepts of what this means and start to think about how to deal with it in the context of the subcommittee we're forming, in the context of requests we're going to make to the national board, and the idea of maybe having local auditors, you know. So inconsistencies in reporting procedures across the network, what that basically means is, you know, there might be, there's not a total uniform ledger, general ledger, which is like, you know, same item, sub-items, sub-sub-items where money is allocated or taken from for specific issues, for specific events, for specific people. The job description of people at the stations, the description of what a consultant really means, the description of what is a volunteer at the station who probably once in a while will do some ad hoc work doing fund drive and get paid for that 2 weeks. All of that, you know, the inconsistencies in procedures, that's what this is all addressing. Yes. Dr. Bitoon?
I'm sorry, I thought I was on mute. My daughter was asking me a question. I do apologize.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I mixed the whole thing all together here. But that's what we're talking about. Can we, throughout the whole network, say, for example, at WBAI and KPFK and at all the five stations, we're going to book this expense of $100 or $1,000 or $5 exactly the same way. So, which means we're going to five jobs, you know, there might be jobs at KPFA or KPFK or at WBI that are not at other stations. We're going to revamp and we analyze all of this to see if it makes sense. Can we put the same items on all the budget and all the ledgers, even if they are blank with $0, so that they can all match?
That is such an excellent idea.
Terry? I believe Casey McFaul, the Secretary of the Finance Committee, is chairing a Finance Committee work group looking at revamping budget line item categorization and descriptions.
So do you think it might be appropriate, or maybe too early for him to, instead of us spending some time on this, to give us like a brief summary of what's going on and what he might need from us or not need from us at all, so that we can feel comfortable that something is being done here. Barry.
Well, I think they're doing it, not us.
This is Harrison.
Yes.
It seems to me that we might be able to say something in a general way that having a standardized ledger would be useful to the auditor, as he expressed, and that might have a positive impact on the progress of what the Finance Committee is doing. And let me I have a point of information. You said interdepartmental transfers. Did you mean between station, interstation transfers?
Station and departmental transfers, the do-to from national to local, from station to station. There were problems with those also.
Yes, there's quite a history with KPFK trying to find out about that. You know, we feel or felt in the past that some money was owed us and the bookkeeping was questionable. And so I think that it would be good to get that straightened out.
Okay. How do we address this? Because right now I feel like I'm floating. I mean, this is a serious issue, but, you know, the finance department is addressing this. So should we ask them if they can share with us the information?
This is Evelyn.
Evelyn.
It would be just very beneficial for Pacifica as a whole to have standard chart of accounts across the board.
Mm-hmm.
That way, no matter what or who's looking at the financials for any station, things are uniform.
And you can do some comparison.
And you can do budget to actual, and people understand what you're talking about or what they're looking at, no
Carrie.
Matter who it is.
Are you an accountant, doctor?
Yes.
I kind of got that.
Terry on deck.
Yes, Terry.
Yeah, Pacifica does have a uniform chart of account and the budget.
Don't use it or what?
No. The problem with the current chart of account is that the account descriptions are very short, and it's difficult for someone not intimately familiar with the chart of accounts to know what expenses go into each budget category.
Okay.
And sometimes business managers miscategorize, and the national office recategorizes. So if the short description on the budget is consultants, if it's a particular chart of account number, it may include attorneys or not include attorneys, depending on its number, and you can't tell that by the short description of the line item. So what the Finance Committee is going to do, as well as relooking at the entire chart of account, is try to improve the line item descriptions so that it is more easily interpreted by someone who's not intimately familiar with the particular chart of accounts we're using.
That would make good sense.
But there are also inconsistencies as far as the description of who is doing what. For example, I would bet you that you would get five different answers within WBAI or between WBAI and other station or within other station on how do you treat a volunteer producer who works, you know, and makes, let's say, $500 for this fund drive. How do you book it? You know, a lot of times these things used to be posted as consultant, and then there was this big, you know, issues. People were not being honest, but it was just, you know, problems in understanding where to book these things. And whatever it is we decide, you know, if it's consistent, then we can know that this is how this money is being spent. So, I mean, and the question to you would be, you know, $500 that you spend on someone, someone was responding phone calls or doing entries or doing whatever they're doing during a fund drive, would you allocate that expense to what? To programming? You know, what would you book that against? And these are the little things that Terry Goodman, I disagree with you, that are not, you know, uniform and clear. You know, I mean, my question to you guys, to everyone who is listening now, is how would you book that? What would you book that against? Programming? Or would you book it against the specific, program that's doing that show at that time, and that they had this one person, you know, that we paid $100 for 2 hours to help? What do you book it against?
Are you saying that they would already be on payroll, or that they're brought in just for this function?
Both ways.
Well, if they're already on payroll, I think the simple thing is that you just charge it to their home department, wherever it is. You can't make it too complex for little Pacifica stations. If they're brought in specifically for that, then it should be charged to development.
Development. At WBAI, I am not sure development is, never mind. So that's what I'm talking about.
Don White here.
Yes, Don.
Well, you know, I have to admit that this is not an area, I mean, I'm so confused by it that it's not an area where I have expertise, but I'd like to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Terry or anyone, Marnie. One of the problems we seem to have at KPFK, when our treasurer and our finance committee wants information, is that some expenditures are at the foundation level and some expenditures are at the station level. And there doesn't seem to be a computer program that everyone is using that you can see immediately, you know, what the status is. Because when we ask financial people at the station level for a complete printout and a complete accountability, it's never complete, because there seems to be a dichotomy between what's done at the local station, what's done at the foundation. It seems to me there should be a computer program that everyone plugs into so you can see immediately what the exact status is and of line items, and when. Now, just hypothetically, this came up in a call to me from a member of the LSB, the idea of our general manager taking trips, or our development director taking trips. Who approves that, and what line item does that come out of? Seems to me there should be a comprehensive program, computer program, that our treasurer would have access to, that would show immediately where that expenditure is coming out of. Is that a problem, the difference between expenditures that are taken care of by the foundation and those at the local level? People more aware of this. Is this one of the reasons we can never get straight answers?
Wow.
You know, there is software that allows you to be tied in to more than one location and at various levels. I don't know what software we use. Do we use like what Peachtree Accounting? Or
they're using Great Plains.
When it worked,
which collapsed.
Yeah, but
right.
I think it's back up.
Yeah. Well, supposedly the accounting system we're using, you know, it's pretty decent. It's just that, see, I don't understand, you know, like the technical ability of, you know, downloading something into Excel or, you know, a GL, right, Dr. Bitoon, a general ledgers, you know, that has all kind of journal entries and so on, posted for a quarter or for a month, could not just generate report at will. It seems like it's such a long time to generate a report, to print report on the page.
I asked this question at the last CMB meeting because I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
If the information is in there, you should be able to get all kinds of reports.
Because
if it's accounting software, it's set up with a reporting piece,
module.
I'm sure. Yes. So I don't understand not being able to get a report if the information has been entered. And I haven't gotten an answer to that yet.
And that reduces the transparency within the network.
Now, Terry, we have had a lot of trouble getting reports at KPFK, and you're on the finance committee.
Yeah.
How do you account for our difficulty in getting full transparency?
Well, we're given the situation of certain expenses being booked by national and certain